Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with him, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our third reading is from John chapter 19. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so he put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was a strange interaction that Jesus had. First, Jesus says to the Samaritan woman at the well, Samaritan woman, an outsider, a half-breed, one who is not expected to be having any interactions with Jews. He says, Give me a drink. And she responds, not with water, but with a question. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? That's all well and good, that's fine. But then comes a strange response from Jesus. He says, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, Give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And then later on in that conversation, he says, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, the water that was coming from the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It's John chapter 4, where we hear that story. Living water. Water welling up to eternal life and quenching an eternal thirst. Yes, please. I'll take some of that. And later, in John chapter 7, Jesus says this to the crowd. He says, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So if you're thirsty, come to Jesus. That's what he says. Come to him. It's a beautiful invitation. But it's a bit strange. Still later, the one who promised living water so that man might never thirst again, eternal water, hung on the cross, naked, deserted, dying, and with his near last breath, he cries out, "I thirst. Behold the well of living water, the fount of water welling up to eternal life. Behold the rock who was cleft in the wilderness to give the wellspring of water, life-giving, life-sustaining water, to his grumbling, thirsty people. Behold the one who created water and all that waters that flow, rivers that run, oceans that surge, brooks that bubble, water tables that nourish, all of it. Behold the God who changed 6 stones of water to be the best wine that the wedding guests had ever tasted, in a vintage to satisfy their taste buds that was just way better than any simple wedding banquet can provide. Behold the man. He is thirsty, dried up, parched, with his tongue sticking to the roof of his mouth like Velcro, craving for just a sip even of sour wine from a sponge. Behold the man who thirsts. Taking upon human flesh, the second person of the Holy Trinity now needs water. He now needs to drink in order to survive. If God does not drink, he will die. What can we make of this? The Creator relies on an element of creation in order to survive day to day. And is now his tongue is like sandpaper in a blistered, dry mouth. He wants a drink. And you, for what do you thirst? For what does your flesh ache and groan? Probably not a drink of water. That's far too ordinary. Your flesh groans and aches. Your body thirsts for money, for riches, for power, for influence, for popularity, success, comfort, security. Perhaps you, like Jesus, are thirsty. But you, unlike Jesus, thirst for self. Jesus, however, thirsts for you. God has taken on human flesh, flesh that hungers, flesh that thirsts, flesh that needs sustenance, flesh that can be beaten, abused, mocked, nailed to a cross, and hung until it thirsts in peril for its life. But he's thirsting not so that he can live. He's thirsting because he can die. He's thirsting because he has flesh. He's thirsting, and he can die because he has taken upon this flesh because he desires to save you and me and all of mankind. Behold the man who thirsts. Behold the man who empties himself so that you may be filled. Behold the man who is cut off so that you can be grafted in. Behold, the man who thirsts so that men might drink and never be thirsty again. Behold, the man who is parched and dried up so that you may find in him the river of life. Behold, the man who thirsts as he dies so that he can give you eternal life. Behold the man. In him, your thirsts, your desires, your needs are quenched. Your thirsts, even though they may seem shallow and distorted, your thirsts are a lot like what Isaiah says in chapter 29, verse 8. When a thirsty man dreams and beholds, he is drinking in his dream. He wakes faint with his thirst not quenched. You see, our thirsts will not be quenched in this life. And your thirsts, ultimately, our thirsts, they point us to the true thirst that we have, thirst for this wellspring, the righteousness of Christ, thirst for Christ and his righteousness. Thirst for him, the river that flows and the water that flows into and covers the whole earth. So your thirst is good. It is a reminder of the days of Eden in the past and the looking forward to the new creation that was talked about in our Revelation reading. The river of life, the new heavens, the new earth, where there will be no more thirst, but we will be fully quenched in Jesus Christ. So your thirst is a call to remain in Christ alone. It is called to remain in Christ and what he offers you, a quench, a thirst that will be quenched eternally. Until then, until the new heaven and the new earth where there will not be any thirst, until then, as we wander through this wilderness between Eden and the new Eden, your thirst is good. In the same way that our hunger sharpens our desire for the bread of life, Jesus Christ, the very body of Christ, thirst disciplines your taste buds to desire something far more than water or wine or any temporary thirst quencher. Your thirst reminds you and it disciplines you that you desire a heavenly drink. Until you can quench your thirst in that eternal water, eternal life, there is a river that flows from the Lord's altar that can soothe your parched throat. From this altar, you receive the very blood of him who bled for you on the cross, who thirsted for your fulfillment, who died that you might live. From the chalice of the Lord's Supper, there is a river that flows, and it gives you a foretaste of the eternal wellspring that you will enjoy in the new heavens and the new earth, a stream that can fulfill your deepest thirst. Behold the man who was dried up with thirst so that his dry lips would be satisfied, would satisfy the and give you eternal life, give you the eternal blood for true drink in his Lord's Supper. Behold the man who thirsted. Behold the man who bids that you thirst no more. Behold the man who is the river of life, the water for which you ultimately, deeply, and intensely thirst for. Behold the man who was dried up with thirst so that you might be quenched with the water that flows to eternal life. Behold the man, God, who thirsts for your salvation. Behold the man. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.